Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Aaron, it's 2025. It's mid-February, early Feb. And this is the first episode I'm recording. I've taken a little break. I was really excited when Katie and Andre lined this up for us to meet. I'm kicking off season three now. I think, you know, north of 100 episodes. And so I'm excited to have you on as the first guest of 2025. But I want to jump right in. Dental recruiters, it's in the name. I have some idea of what you do. You know, you're out of Minneapolis, which is lovely. We were just talking about what a great place it is to raise a family. Yes. Tell me the journey you've gone on to, you know, how the heck, who wakes up one day and says, I really love recruiting. I'm going to go recruit.
Yeah.
I had a buddy that went to Harvard. I went to UTA. It's not the same, but he said, I can distill down a Harvard education in two sentences. Market friction is market opportunity. And I thought that was, you know, well said, but it's probably a good time to be recruiting. At the same time, yeah, it's challenging, but give me the backstory. Where's Aaron been?
Yeah. So thank you for having me. Of course, I'm glad to be the first one in 2025, but yeah, so I'm a licensed dental hygienist. I graduated from the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry with a degree in dental hygiene. Right after graduation, I moved to North Carolina. My husband was in the military and was stationed there at the time. So I practiced both as a clinical dental hygienist, and then as I was also working in front office operations. After a couple years of that, we moved to Texas, where I practiced both as a full-time clinical hygienist. And then, so back in 2018, we moved back home to Minnesota. Minnesota's home. I spent a few more years practicing in private practice. Then I transitioned into more of a lead front office position where I managed everything from business reports and money and insurance, patient communications. And it really gave me that diverse perspective on both the front and the back office of a dental practice. Then a couple years ago, Shannon and I connected. We actually were at the same school of dentistry. She was just kind of a year ahead of me. So we had known each other for a while. But so she owns Dental Recruiters. Her and I connected because she was looking for someone to run her Dental Recruiters company. It was a recruiting and a temporary staffing company at the time. And then just over a year ago, we rebranded and shifted our focus entirely on full cycle permanent recruitment for private dental practices. And I love it. I have both the clinical background as well as the business mindset to help practices succeed with a permanent team.
If you look at the market today versus a year ago versus maybe 5 years ago, what are you seeing out there
as far as kind of what jobs are looking like?
Yeah, what jobs are looking like, what compensation is looking like, what, yeah, you know, what are you seeing these offices do?
Yeah, and that has been the biggest shift, I feel like, especially since COVID. You know, ultimately, compensation is always going to be a big piece that grabs people's attention when it comes to applying for a position. So my job at Dental Recruiters is really to give a different balance, you know, to kind of manual or to balance that compensation strain. So sky high hourly rates have gotten extremely high over the recent years, but where's the ceiling? Eventually, you know, right now we're seeing average of 55 an hour for hygienists in the Twin Cities. When reimbursements don't change and, you know, everything else just doesn't change as far as expenses in a dental practice, where's that ceiling where eventually it's not reasonable. It doesn't make sense. So what we're seeing and what we really talk about, I know Shannon touched on this with you when she spoke not too long ago, but many of our practices that we're working with are incorporating a hygiene compensation model. Ultimately, it's the idea of associate dentists are getting paid a percentage of their production. Right now, dental hygienists are doing more than they ever have. So, you know, they're doing, of course, scaling and root planing, laser treatments, pro fees, increased sealants and fluoride, but also Botox now is in the mix where hygienists can go in and, you know, ultimately mark all the places. Doctors just have to come in and inject. So they're doing more than they ever have. So that being said, too, they can be compensated similar to a dentist as well. Where it's different is they're not paid entirely off of a compensation,
right?
Off of production, I should say. Hygienists receive a reasonable base pay. That's where it can kind of stay within reasonable area for practices to manage. But then the ceiling is theirs to achieve. So this doesn't mean that dental hygienists recommend anything that's beyond their scope of practice, or that they should recommend any treatment that's not necessary, but it helps ease the blow for practices that are just paying the base rate.
Right.
So, you know, ultimately you don't want a hygienist that's just doing pro fees day in and day out and still get this base pay and there's no extra production coming in. But so yeah, that's also where we recommend, you know, implementing other benefits as well that can attract candidates besides compensation, right? So this is where we get into welcome bonuses. And that can be paid. You know, a lot of people see welcome bonuses and they're like, well, I'm not going to pay $5,000 for a hygienist. Mm-hmm. And then they're a week in and say, thanks for the free money. Bye. And that's more, you know, we work with them about what does that look like? How can that get paid out throughout the course of how much time? But, you know, that's an option. Holiday pay, including floating holidays, PTO, medical, dental, you know, those typical benefits, but also just some fun out of the box benefits, which is a fun one that we'll see or use, I should say, every once in a while, is having your birthday as a paid holiday, or, you know, reimbursement if you have a decent commute to work. Could we reimburse mileage, gas money? So kind of some out of the box things to try to consider too.
So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel old enough to ask this question. If your paradigm is, you know, I used to pay my hygienist $28 an hour, $32 an hour, for whatever the number, 35, sure. And now it's 55 and they want more freedom. That's a lot. If I've only ever done it one way, it just sounds like anarchy, right? Yep. Like I'm just giving away money. Cause even the bonus, I'm giving away money. If I'm giving them their birthday off, I'm paying them, but I'm not getting their production. It all wraps up into just more money, right? It's some
right.
money and freedom. But culturally that sounds, if I'm only ever paying $35 an hour, and if you're here, I pay you. If you're not here, I pay you. That's such a huge gap. And I acknowledge that that's an old way of thinking, but still, it begs the question of how do you culturally help that doctor bridge that gap right. to today, right?
Right. And that's the million-dollar question, too, is how can we get doctors and practice managers on board with this whole, you know, what else besides just throwing money out? So, yes, of course, you know, benefits are money, PTO is money, holidays are money, welcome bonuses, all that. But ultimately, how can we balance that where let's get these good team members for you that have the same views, same, you know, drive for patient care, where they can ultimately have you produce more as a practice, where it doesn't seem like it's, oh my gosh, I'm losing all this money. More so, you know, okay, well, this is how we treatment plan. This is how we care for our patients. Here's our philosophy. And then if we can get everybody on their team on board with that, which is the ultimate goal, and ultimately that gap won't seem as like, well, we're just gonna keep downing money.
Right. So the argument then, sort of, if I'm distilling down what you're saying, is yes, you are going to outlay more cash. Mm-hmm. And however, the cash you outlay is going to be furthered by an increase in your hygiene production,
right.
Perhaps your same day dentistry. You are going to see a corresponding rise in overall P&L health of the organization.
Correct. And right. the same thing, I mean, even, you know, insurance reimbursements, that's kind of been a sticky situation too. But ultimately the baseline of fee for service for an exam or a cleaning or all that's naturally increasing, you know, rates increase usually annually, give or take, as well. So there's that theory too.
Yeah. If you only view hygiene as the place where cleanings happen, then this is a major mind shift for you, because right. when I hear you talk, it's less about just paying more money to keep a hygienist. And if you view that way, you're probably coming at it from a very not an abundant mindset, right?
Correct. Very linear.
But if you're very linear, you're right. But if you view it as, you know what, I'm going to turn my hygiene into a revenue center and treat it as such and have goals as such, I can now see where I can go from just cleanings to it being a revenue center to give them. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. And exactly. And that's just, it is, you don't want to bring on a team member that's just in that mindset, you know, of, well, what do you mean? I just want hour long pro fees 4 days a week for, you know, like, that's all I want. What do you mean? Kind of a thing. So that's where it can be a harder shift. But then that's kind of where, you know, I come in and it's like, okay, hear me out. Like, it seems aggressive, but we're attracting these people. It's like, okay, like, prove it. We'll give you all these things. We'll do all these things, but like, prove that you value our patients and our you know, everything the way that we do. And you care, I care. So yeah, I think it's just shifting that mindset, which, you know, I speak with a lot of colleges too, and just kind of, you know, hey, it's not just a go in. And I still actively practice every once in a while too. And there's plenty of times where I'll go in and I'll see patients and I'm like, man, there's so much that's just getting like, oh, well, we'll catch it next time. We'll catch it next time. Or, you know, like not, where there's so much room for kind of better provider relationship too.
Right. Right. Now, I have a question. I one time left my cable company, obviously a long time ago when I had cable, because they were offering new people. Yeah, it was forever ago. If you signed up new, you got like, you know, 6 months for free, but they wouldn't give me 6 months for free. And I've been around for a long time. Now flip that on the hygiene side. How are you handling? I have three hygienists and now I'm hiring a new one. That's, they're coming in at a much higher rate. I'm having to advertise at a higher rate. Like, how am I bridging that gap in the organization of someone's coming in at $55 an hour and my God, no one makes 55, you know, how are you doing that?
That's a great question. Cause that is a very common question I get. And ultimately, you know, what I recommend and suggest is before we even get an ad out there, because that's your worst nightmare, where you have this ad, it's all these extravagant promises.
You and can then have your birthday off and you
right,
can,
and like you're the current.
And Fridays are free and yeah, everyone's like, whoa.
Monday, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so, and then you're the, you know, hygienist or assistant or whatever. And all of a sudden you're scrolling and being like, wait a second, this is my practice.
I would like to apply for that job.
Correct. I would want that. So what we recommend is, of course, obviously and ultimately, if you are going to post an ad with A, B, and C, your current team, you need to match that. And that kind of goes into where, you know, ultimately, if this is the vibe and the kind of feel that you're going to give out to a new applicant, like, you're all right, yes, this is why you should work for us, this is why you should come in and pick us above all the other hundreds of offices that are looking for the exact same candidate, that's where it comes into, yes, you need to adjust those benefits for the whole office. You know, that I get that question a lot too, with, of course, compensation, but medical insurance. Okay, well, nobody in my practice needs medical insurance. I don't want to have to offer it to everybody. Well, I mean, it's kind of going to come with the territory. But that being said too, you know, how do you keep your current team retained and staying? And, you know, you want to just ultimately create that environment where you want to attract candidates, but you want to not only retain them, you want to retain your current team. So that's where, yes, you want to make a great first impression when they come in for an in-person interview. But let's say, you know, a practice needs to set up that ambiance that they can continue for everybody else. Is it well organized? Do you have fresh flowers? Do you have refreshments? Have you even seen where there's massage chairs in the break room? Like, just something that, you know, what makes your culture and team stand out, and where the rest of your team also feels just as honored to work there as you're trying to pursue this next person.
I hate to be the middle-aged, you know, man in the room, but I am now most days. It's wild. And I find myself, Aaron, caught sometimes between, I'll give you an example. And my kids are not old. They're 12, 13, 14 now. So they are not old, right? I mean, this is a relevant within the last 15 year story.
Yeah.
I remember I worked at a large company and I told my manager that my wife was, you know, we're having kids. It was our second, it wasn't, you know. And I was going to take some time off to bring Sophia home.
Yeah.
And he giggled and he's like, you don't have breasts and you ain't helping. What are you going to be doing? And he was, this was not a bad man. This was not a crazy man. He wasn't,
it was a valid question at the time.
He wasn't mean, and he giggled and denied my time off to be there. It feels very jarring for me to now fast forward to 2025, and I'm giving people their birthday off for without it being a day. I'm unlimited leave is, you know, more common than not some places. I'm now having to adapt to flexible work styles. And even though I embrace it because I'm in marketing and, you know, obviously that's where the world, that's just where my world goes.
Yeah.
It is shocking to me still when I try to comport where I came from, because, you know, I even told a story to Ian, one of the guys, you know, here in the company. He was saying, you know, we're talking about opportunities. And I said, you know what's funny? When my manager asked me to work late early in my career, I viewed it as opportunity, where today we view it as impinging on my work-life balance.
Yes. Which is
what I laughed. And I was like, work-life balance is, and I think it's a myth. I think when people say work-life balance, what they really mean is life-life balance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never want work to interfere in my personal life. It's funny because I've really had to do a lot of work to understand that the world can still function. There are still hard workers out there. They're not trying to take advantage of me. But like, I have gone through a journey as a business owner of like, when I look at people today in the workforce and I looked at what I did, I'm grateful they didn't have to do what I did. But it does feel shocking from a P&L perspective. I must say the percentage of money that I spend on staff and salaries and benefits is higher than it's ever been. Now, paradoxically, the company in 2024 is more profitable than we've ever been.
Right.
And that's where I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm. Lean into it.
But it really took a lot of personal work for me to not be bitter about what I had to go through versus what they had to go through today, and somehow comport that I can still be profitable in these other things. It's got to be hard for those dentists.
Yes, especially, and you know, the way I've kind of reiterated it too is, yes, value of time, value of work, kind of the whole work-life balance theory has certainly shifted. And what's been interesting to watch too, when, you know, people talk about the hiring of dental hygienists especially, and even dental assistants, but there's been that shortage. Really what we're seeing is the first cohort of baby boomers has been retiring the last couple years. And so that's kind of what's led into that, which also means a shift, kind of the same thing I was talking about before, where there's been a lot of people who, well, I've been working at the same dental practice for the last 20 years, where you just don't necessarily hear that anymore. People are like, all right, a couple years and I'm on to the next, kind of a thing. Where I think that's the shift and the struggle is that a lot of those, like, I guess, values aren't necessarily there anymore, where that generation that is now starting to retire, you know, yep, this is what I'm doing. I'm fine doing this, kind of really regimented in their day-to-day life and work. We're now, you know, especially the new graduating class coming out where, well, this is my expectation. I heard that you can make this, this, and that and do that. And then I can still do this and still go on. I want to go on vacation whenever I want, where they're really... That's where we kind of have to match and be like, okay, let's be realistic. Like, we understand times are changing, shifting, values are shifting. And that's something that kind of, you know, as a, especially if you're a long time dentist, that you're like, well, no, the rest of my team, that's not what they value. Mm-hmm. That's not what they want. People, they're not driven in that sense.
I find I feel jealousy or envy. I don't know which one is accurate, but one of them, because I'm like, you're asking for things that I didn't have until I built my own company and put my own money at risk and dang near got divorced to fight for the freedom I have today. And you just graduated school and you're kind of made it. Mm-hmm. I feel this like sense of, you know, jealousy of like, hey, why didn't I ask for that when I was not? Yeah. In 1995, why did I not have this?
And, yeah.
You know, but it is the way of the world.
It is. I graduated in college in 2011. And when I started clinical and then even like now is insanity. Mm-hmm. It's crazy the difference, even in that amount of time, that it's just, so that's kind of been the struggle, is where do we cap that? Where do we just kind of say like, okay, yes, I hear your desires, but from a business standpoint, from a patient care standpoint, you know, where can we kind of lay the foundation of like, this is reasonable, this is how you get you want, but, and then just make sure that everybody's feeling respected. Cause again, that goes down to retention. And are you going to lose another team member because you tick somebody else off? And so it's, it's ever changing. And it's kind of what my job is, to just try to stay, you know, not only relevant with the clients I work with, but even a titch above, you know, something dramatic, like what stand out extra that's not thought of yet, because you just want to try to stay ahead of the curve within reason, of course.
So I hear you talk, and I think through our own journeys, you know, we are at a paradigm change in dentistry in today, because the private equity money that's coming in, they are taking care of their hygienists and they are paying their staffs these things. And they're doing it because they see that employee turnover is notoriously expensive. And you know, I mean, it, 3 to 10 times the cost of a salary is what it takes to replace them, depending on, you know, what number you look at, right? So massive thing.
Yep.
And I feel that in dentistry, where there are these factors converging, right? There's these, the labor market is one, and then there's the private equity funds that are coming in. And then there's this, you know, if you're a provider, a dentist today, and you're trying to optimize your P&L at the bottom, you're probably already losing. You need to be focused on growth, because that's what everyone else is focused on. And to do that, you have to lean into leadership training or cultural training, because, you know, as you're talking through your point, I cannot add the benefits. And I think they're important and valid in 2025. I can't bring hygienists on at these higher rates and still operate the way I was. And that requires change, and that requires courage.
Exactly.
And personal work. And, and Erin, you sound like you might be, instead of recruiters, like a therapist.
I try. Well, that's just, I mean, that's just it. Is the first step, honestly, is reaching out to me and being like, look, this, you know, gone are the times where you list a job and then you just wait for somebody to apply.
Those are, I love those. When those come back, I will be excited.
Easy. It was great. Uh-huh. And so those, that kind of goes hand in hand with those providers and practice managers that are still in that mentality. And like, why am I not getting an applicant? Why am I getting no candidates when a practice down the road is getting 16?
And he's not even a good dentist.
Right. Right.
Yeah. He sucks. Yeah, all but, the time. All the time. Yeah.
But so that's kind of that shift too, which, you know, if I can get myself out there and be like, look, my goal is really to take that pressure off of, because it's exhausting. Hiring somebody looking for someone's exhausting. So my mission is basically to alleviate those hiring headaches for practices, you know, allowing doctors and practice managers focus on dentistry, focus on your front office team, focus on, back to the work-life balance, focus on your family at home, like being able to kind of transition those duties onto me. And that's where I come in. And if you, you know, first start reaching out to me, and then I give you kind of these ideas, and you're like, either goes one of two ways, like absolutely not, or okay, tell me more, you know, that's where it can shift, where it's, you know, if you're just going to be very set in your ways, and well, this is how I want, this is how I see my practice, this is how, which is great. I mean, to be a practice owner, any business owner, you need to have that drive. But you also have to be open to the constant shifting and the constant changing and the constant, this is just how to get, not only, you know, you don't want just a body that, you know, at your practice, you want somebody who's actually going to fit and actually going to kind of take on that whole encompass of your practice.
God bless you. It sounds like you're doing really hard work out there.
It's difficult, but it's, you know, it's very rewarding though, when you do get a lot of projects and clients come in and people are like, oh my gosh, like I can go home and just have dinner with my family and not even think about it. And I know it's taken care of. And, you know, it's, I build those relationships with not only clients and practices, but people who I've had speaking engagements with, or people who I've interviewed in the past, and they're like, oh, you know, maybe this one doesn't sound like a right fit, but keep me in mind for the next one. And then that's in my back pocket for the next office, you know? And so, yeah, it's challenging. It's ever evolving. But I think kind of what's in my benefit a little bit too, is that I have that clinical provider experience and front office experience. And so I can see it from both ways, where it's like, you know, what's reasonable as a provider, what's reasonable as to make a practice run. So.
Well, lovely. Well, Erin, thank you so much for your time. And if you're listening and you want to recruit a great team, you need to call Erin, Dental Recruiters. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, and I love the grasp you have on the market, because we're seeing this is the world we live in, and
this is the world.
You can hide and shrink, or you can bear hug it and grow. But
exactly,
one way or another, it's happening.
It's happening, and that's just it. Is you can dig your feet in, or you know, dig your heels in, and say, not changing, going to stay in my ways. But ultimately, the world's, I mean, you're going to crumble under it. We got to stay ahead of it. Have to evolve.
You do. Yeah. Very well said.
Yeah.
Erin, thank you so much for your time.
And
that was your Bite of Dental Marketing. Yeah.